Amen. Well, I'm so glad you're here this evening, and I'm looking forward to our time together now. Would you please open your Bibles to John chapter 1? Please open your Bibles to John chapter 1. And if you don't have one, I would encourage you to grab one somewhere near you. I want you to be able to follow along and to understand tonight's message with clarity. So John chapter 1, grab a Bible. You can look at it, follow along. Would love for you to have it if you don't have one. John chapter 1. The title of this evening's message is Blinded to the Light. Blinded to the Light. And I want to read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 13. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shone or shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. There was a man having been sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens everyone. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." The cave fish, also known as the blind fish, lives in total darkness underground. Over generations, this Mexican cave fish, they can lose their eyesight entirely and become incapable of perceiving light. The problem for this fish, that this fish encounters, is not that the light is far from the fish. It is that the fish is incapable of perceiving it. Whether it comes near to the fish or stays far from the fish can't perceive it. You have other creatures like the cockroach or those that are nocturnal, and these perceive the light, but they flee from the light because the light exposes them. And this is really the story of mankind. Blindness to the light of God, rejection of it because of how it exposes our sin. And this becomes most evident in the cross of Christ. Yet, ironically, it is the very cross of Christ which opens men's eyes to see the light of his glorious gospel. It opens man's heart and opens man's mind to embrace the light rather than to flee from it. It opens man's heart to love the light and to cherish the light. And it's the cross of Christ, ironically, that causes men to follow the light. And so tonight, I want you to see the light. I want you to see those who were blinded by the light. I want you to see those who fled from the light and ushered in, really, by the power of darkness, the darkest day in human history. And I want you to embrace the light, that the light might shine upon you and produce the fruit that only comes from having this light. So as we look at our text tonight, and we're really going to move around a little bit from John 1 to John 3 to John 8 to John 12 and maybe John 19. I don't think so because of time. And then Easter will focus on John 20. Be a bit of a survey of John. But I want us to notice first tonight and follow along. Number one, the reality of the light and his coming. The first thing we see in our passage tonight is the reality of the light and his coming. This is in verses 1-9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. There was a man having been sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. There was the true light, which was coming into the world, which enlightens everyone. The light, as we see in verse 1, is also known as the Word. The light and the Word existed in the beginning, verse 1 says. John takes us back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And before God ever said by his word, let there be light, physical light upon the earth, that is, the Word existed. He is the eternal Word, the eternally begotten Word, not made. Begotten eternally. Figure that one out. Not made. As the Word, he was the full expression and revelation of God. That's what the Word is. The Word, it says in verse 1, was with God, meaning he was distinct from the Father, yet it intimately related. The word here, pros, denotes a facing one another. They are intimately related, but they are distinct. And yet the Word, it says in verse 1, was God. The Word was not a God, as Jehovah's Witness claim. Also, God was not the Word, meaning they were the same person, but the Word was equal and of the same essence as the Father. So distinct, but 100% equal and of the same essence. Verse 2 again summarizes this truth. It says he was in the beginning with God, again summarizing, because it's such an amazing statement that he has to say it again, and says there's eternality, there's equality, and there is also distinction between this one and the Father. Verse 3 tells us that this is the one whom created. All things came into being through him. This is the uncreated one who is the only one who can then create all things. And God does so through the Word, through his Word. As Colossians 1:16 tells us, we read earlier through 20, that not only by him and through him and for him and his cross would then reconcile all sinful creation to himself as the light of himself, the full revelation of God comes into full focus in man's heart. But this is the one who has created the very physical life and the very spiritual life of the world. Verse 4 tells us that. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life. This is his aseity. It means that he derives life from himself. In him is life. Life comes from him. He's unchanging, unlike anything else. But more than that, John here means that he is the source of spiritual life. He is the source of spiritual life. And the life, it says in verse 4, was the light of men. And so what he is saying here is the one, the divine life, the source of spiritual life, was made manifest to men. So the men could see the light who was also the life. The light is the life. The life is the light. The source of spiritual life to those who were spiritually dead was the light to show men himself as the light. And those who would receive life would do so as they received the light. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness. The darkness did not overtake it. This life cannot be killed. This light cannot be extinguished by the forces of Satan, by the forces of sin. They cannot be extinguished by the tossing of the winds and the waves of the evil world. 1 John 2:8 says, the light is shining and the darkness is passing away. In verses 6 through 8, we see there was a forerunner sent, a light before the light. There was a man having been sent from God whose name was John. John, verse 7, came as a witness to bear witness about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light. He came to bear witness about the light. God sent a forerunner to the light, one who would help clear the brush and the distortion, the trees, the stumps, the bushes, the roots away and clear a straight path. So men would recognize, he would help open the world's eyes to the darkness of their sin, the penalty of death that comes with this sin, and the coming source of divine life who would be the light. And verse 7, so they would believe through his witness. John the Baptist was not the one with the hope to provide the light was, but John would tell them about it. By the way, John the Baptist was not only the one who would do this, but John, the writer of this very gospel, says in chapter 21, verse 31, the witness of this gospel is so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have a life in his name. John the Baptist, believe in this light and have his life. John, the writer of this gospel, believe in this light and have his life. Verse 9, John was preparing men. There was the true light, and the light would not only be manifest in the writing of this book, but in the proclamation of John. He would be, verse 9 says, manifested in the flesh. The light, the true light, was coming into the world to enlighten everyone. So this is the source of spiritual life now being seen and heard by men. If you look at verse 14, John will tell us this again later on. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. He tells us again in verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. The Father is invisible. The Son, the eternally begotten Son, has come and been made manifest in the flesh. And now through his incarnation, you see the light. You see God. And it says he will enlighten everyone. That is in verse 9. The light is so bright, so clear, that every kind of person, all men, regardless of any future or any background or any guilt or any shame, can see this very light. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. It says, then Jesus spoke to them and saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered him and said, even if I bear witness about myself, my witness is true, for I know where I came from and I know where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I'm not judging anyone, but even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone in it, but I and the Father who sent me. Even in your law, it has been written that the witness of two men is true. I am he who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. So they were saying to him, where's your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know where my Father is also. These words he spoke to the treasury as he was teaching in the temple, and no one seized him because his hour had not yet come. When he had said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die, in your sin. Where I am, where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews were saying, surely he will not kill himself, since he says, where I am going, you cannot come. And he was saying to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they were saying, who are you? Jesus said to them, what have I been saying to you from the beginning? I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these I am saying to the world. They did not know that he was speaking to them about the Father. Verse 12 tells us in this passage, and I don't have time to focus deeply on this, but just stay with me. Verse 12 tells us that he's the light. Verse 12 tells us he calls men out of darkness. Verse 12 tells us that if you have him, you have the light of life. Verse 13 through 19 tells us about his equality to the Father. Verse 26 tells us the word reveals to us who God is. Verse 24 tells us to believe in him and receive this light. Verse 21 says the light would only be here temporarily. And because of this, if you don't believe, then you will die in your sin. So how does someone respond to this? Go back to John chapter 1. The second thing that we're going to see tonight is the rejection of the light. The rejection of the light. Verses 10 through 11. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. And he came to what was his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. So now, verse 10, the light is in the world. The source of eternal life is with mankind. The very creation he made to know him and did not. And humanity, in their evil hearts, the world was made through him. The world, he was in the world, and the world, he says, did not know him. The world and its evil system, dominated by sin and Satan, did not believe. They chose to reject the Christ. Turn to John chapter 3, verse 19. John 3, 19. It says, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. This is the rejection. The people love their sin. They don't want to respond as sinners. They are willfully blind and by their very nature choose to be so. Verse 11 then says he came to his own. He came to his own, those who were his own, but his own did not receive him. He came first to the Jews. He came first to the Jew, then to the Gentile, to the people of Israel. That's why he came, and they did to him like they did to the prophets of old. They stiffened their neck, and if they received the light, they would have become enlightened to their condition, their need for spiritual life. But they rejected it. If they received the light, they would have had the light eternally. Yet they wanted one who would make their carnal demands and dreams come true. They didn't want to be exposed as sinners. The Jews thought that they were descendants of Abraham, and so that they were fine, that they were loved by God because of their heritage. They didn't want to be exposed for their sin. They didn't need someone who would pay for their sin. They didn't need someone who would forgive their sin and give them this new life. They didn't need light. They were happy in the darkness. So how did they reject him? Well, you guys know this, but on Friday by Passover week, they were shouting, what? Crucify him. And Acts 2:22 through 23, Peter says, let all the house of Israel know that this Jesus Christ, the Lord, you crucified. That's how they rejected him. Turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 27 through 40. It says, now my soul has become dismayed, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it thundered. Others were saying that an angel had spoken. Jesus answered and said, this voice has not come for my sake, but for your sake. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. But he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was about to die. The crowd then answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ is to remain forever. How do you say that the Son of Man will be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Jesus said to them, for a little while longer, the light is among you. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness does not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, so that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke, and he went away and hid himself from them. But though he had done so many signs before them, they still were not believing in him. So that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason, they could not believe. For Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and return and I heal them. These things Isaiah said because he saw his glory and he spoke about him. Verse 47, jump down. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. But he who rejects me and does not receive my words has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him on the last day. So we see a straight line from the incarnation to the rejection to the crucifixion, where the crucifixion is the ultimate expression of the rejection. And John chapter 1, go back there, verse 11 is the point. Stay in John 12 for just one more second. I want to get you through all of this, I really do. John chapter 12, notice, I don't have time to go through all of this. You can do so tonight, maybe, with your family. But John chapter 12, verse 27, let me just point this out to you the way that I did with John chapter 8. You see in verse 27 his distress. Jesus is narrating the very purpose of this hour of rejection. He's narrating it here. I mean, if you want to hear from the Savior's lips what his thoughts were. Verse 27a, his distress. Verse 27b through 28, his determination. What should I say? Save me from the sour. This is the reason why I came. Verse 28 through 30, the Father's declaration. The Father is declaring. And then the defeat of sin. The ruler of this world, the evil one, the devil, will be judged. As God's eternal wrath is poured out on Christ, man is going to receive complete righteousness, new life by the Spirit. When Jesus dies physically, he will take on the punishment of all those who repent and trust in him. And so in this death, in this dark hour, as the light is crushed, as the seed falls and dies at the ground, he produces life for his own. This is the hour. This is the hour. And it's all because the rejection is man's love for darkness. John chapter 12, verse 35. It's walk while you have the light, so that the darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. And so this is the light is here, but men love the darkness. Their disbelief we see here in this passage. And he's quoting Isaiah 53, he's quoting Isaiah 38, and he's quoting Isaiah chapter 6 or referencing it. And what he's talking about in Isaiah's reference is the judicial hardening of Israel. Romans 1 tells us that this is really the result of all those outside of Israel, even who reject Christ, that God gives them over to their unbelief. They love the darkness. They reject the light. And so God gives them exactly what they want, which is the darkness. And they stumble over him who is the light in the darkness. And so, as Peter even tells us in Acts chapter 2, he tells us that this rejection is not the ultimate cause of Jesus' death. Our family was reading John chapter 19 this morning, and as we were walking through it, what an amazing way to understand the crucifixion from John's lips here. And I love how John tells us that Jesus lowered his head and then gave up his spirit. It was not forcibly taken from him. He's the only one who could give his life at any moment, and he did. At the time that was perfect, on Friday prior to Saturday, which was the Passover, in time to be in the grave so that those who were his followers would not be defiled, in time for the ones who were coming to break the legs not to have time to break his legs so that he would fulfill the scriptures. The one who had to be in the grave so that he would touch all 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. This was not an accident, and this was not ultimately because of the rejection of man. This was because of the predetermined plan of God. It was perfect. And this is Jesus, the one who gives his life. And Jesus here in verse 31 and following tells us the reason and the purpose for his rejection. And that is, if he is lifted up from the earth, he will draw all men to himself. And if you're wondering what he's talking about there, he tells you the very next verse. This was to indicate the kind of death that he was about to die. The point is that he is drawing all men to salvation. And this is what we'll see in our third point as we head towards a close. Number three, go back to John chapter 1. We see, number three then, the reception of the light and their reward. And we're going to come back to John 12 in just a minute, so keep your finger there. This is the reception of the light and their reward. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is a wonderful truth. As many as received him, as many as received the light, he gave the right to the life, to become children, to even those who believe in his name. The way you receive the life is to believe in the light. And these would be born again, verse 13, by the will of God. Turn back to John 12, because this makes reference to it. And John 3 makes reference to what we're reading in John 12. But in verse 33, he says, again, if he is going to die by being raised, he is referring to his crucifixion. He is referring to his crucifixion. And this is the light who will be lifted up. Verse 36 says, then, if you believe in the light, this is the same thing that John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 are telling us. You will have what? You will be sons of light. You will be children of God, John 1 says. You will be born of God. You will be not of the flesh, but of God. And so this is the thing that he is referring to. In verse 41, he references, in John 12, he references Isaiah 6. And these are the famous verses of Isaiah 6. You guys know these verses. In verses 1 through 7, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. And Isaiah talks about when he saw the Lord. As the Lord was high and lifted up, who did he see? Well, God the Father is invisible. No one's ever seen him. So Isaiah sees the Son, the Lord Christ. He sees him in his glory. And here we see this reference to Isaiah 6. We see this reference to being lifted up, clearly depicting his cross. And Jesus is telling us that this is the way men will be enlightened, just as Isaiah was enlightened when he saw the Son lifted up. When Christ is lifted up, he draws all men. Now, we don't have time to do this, but if you were to go back to Isaiah 6, you can see the pattern as to how God draws men as they see him lifted up. How? Well, when they see him lifted up, they see God's holiness. When they see him lifted up, they see their own sinfulness. When they see him lifted up, they see the sinfulness of this world. Isaiah says, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And he says, for the reason I know this is because my eyes have seen the King. When I look at everybody else, I think I'm pretty good. But when I see the holiness of God and then reflect on myself, I see myself as I am, which is sinful. And the world around me, not as the world depicts it on the news, but as it's reflected in the Word of God. The light of the perfect standard of holiness that is the life himself. And what does Isaiah do? He confesses his condition. God forgives him of his sins. And how did that happen? Through an atoning sacrifice from the altar. Isaiah 6, 1 through 7. And this is what I believe Jesus is pointing to here. And this is what men and women all across the world must recognize, even this evening when we talk about Good Friday. Listen now. When Jesus is seen upon that cross, what is the response of man? What should it be? It should be what Isaiah's response was. When you hear the gospel, when you understand the gospel, you are understanding that there is a holiness that God has, that we have fallen short of. When you hear the gospel, you recognize that the world falls short of the glory of God. When you hear the gospel, you recognize that you need your sins forgiven. When you hear the gospel, you recognize that you need an atoning sacrifice in order to have your sins forgiven. And so, as Jesus says here, he is speaking the truth. As you look to the gospel, God will draw men to himself. How? By them understanding the doctrines of the gospel. Understanding why it was even necessary for Jesus to go to the cross. Understanding then their condition and their need for a savior and how to respond. That only happens if Jesus goes to the cross. And so Jesus is fulfilling this very act. It speaks then, the gospel does, of God's holiness, of man's sinfulness, of the atoning sacrifice, of repentance, and of forgiveness. That's how God draws men to himself. So the seed had to die to produce the fruit of life. As we end, go back to where we started, John chapter 1. Verse 12 and 13, where it tells us again the same thing. But we all need this, verse 13. We need not only to be born of blood and of the will of the flesh and the will of man, but we need to be born again. We need to have new life from the light. We need to be born of God. And that's what Jesus has accomplished. And so we see this evening the reality of the light and his coming, the rejection of the light and their judgment, and the reception of the light and the reward. So this evening, if you have not received Jesus Christ, the very revelation of God who has come to pay the sacrifice for sinners, you are still outside of this life. And just as Jesus said in John chapter 8 and John chapter 12, that he would only be here for a little while longer, you will only be here for a little while longer. And if you don't receive the light, you will die in your sin. And yet, if you have the light, then you have his life. And that's what we rejoice over tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that is clear to us, that we might have life in your name. Lord, we want to see you high and lifted up. Not that we can see you physically, but we can see you with our mind's eye because of the word of truth presented. And Lord, we know, like even Isaiah, we are sent as your ambassadors. You say, who will go for us? Indicating that there are messengers for the Trinitarian God that we serve. And Lord, we pray that we then would even be your messengers for this great message of light that we received. No person takes a light and puts it under a basket, but he lights it so that all may see its light. Help us, God, to not only receive the light and have the life. I pray if there's anyone here who is not born of God, has not been born again, that they would repent of their dark ways and their dark living and trust alone in Christ and his atoning sacrifice for them. I pray for us that we who are in Christ would rejoice in the life that we have, the light that you have shown into our hearts when we were in utter darkness, Ephesians 2 tells us, and that now we have this great life that we get to light in the world so that others may see our good works and glorify our God who is in heaven. Let us be your people who always point to the cross. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.